Welcome to Two Girls, a Guy, and a TARDIS, the only Doctor Who podcast where TARDIS stands for Tethered Aerial Release Developed in Style. I am one of your hosts, John.
I'm Nicole.
Who is looking astonished that I got that out.
That was impressive.
And our other co-host is...
Joanna.
The two loveliest time ladies in the podcast arena. Well, for the 20 of you that listen to us. Not sure what the rest look like, but yeah. Anyways... We tonight will be sleeping no more because of how bad this episode is. If you want to watch a Doctor Who episode that's going to keep you awake at night going WTF, this might be the one. Mm-hmm. This is, from what I looked at, the lowest appreciation score or lowest appreciation index scored episode since...
Love and Monsters?
Love and Monsters, maybe? Which apparently is a cult classic and I'm an idiot for not liking. This got a 78, and Love and Monsters received a 76. In fact, on Rotten Tomatoes, this episode's a 64% approval rating. The last two were like 90. Mm-hmm. This one is, I don't even know where to begin.
Well.
But it starts off with him telling you not to listen and not to watch this.
Yes.
I should have listened. I should have heeded his advice.
Yes, exactly.
Well.
Part of this episode had some interesting things.
I thought this one was... It was, like, an interesting attempt to, like, totally, like, do something new. I was like, okay, Doctor Who hasn't done this. It could work. It didn't. With the found footage, it did not do the, like, shaky, you know, handheld camera that I hate that makes me nauseous. So that
I don't
was
understand
in its favor.
How people go watch those movies. First off, they're always stupid. Like, I'm like, ooh, a movie about Area 51. Oh, it's a found footage movie.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, forget it.
But, like,
Cloverfield. The amount of people that told me that movie was genius. Ugh.
I thought, like, that... I could have gone with that. I could have had I could have gone with the weird for Doctor Who ending where the Doctor doesn't
Is
really seem to
win. Is this the one that had new titles?
Well, it didn't have any credits. It just had, if you were watching closely, the name Doctor Who, like, appears on the screen for, like, a moment.
That's a title sequence.
But that's
roughly.
It.
But, yeah, there was no music.
But, like, I almost missed it. It's so, it's just letters that highlight.
Well, I'm sure before they showed the Doctor, you're going, what the hell are we watching?
But I just, like, I could have gone with the premise. I was okay with an ending where maybe it doesn't seem like the Doctor wins. I mean, it was totally
no, that's
like,
fine. The Doctor losing is not
like,
a bad ending to
me.
It could very well happen. I get it.
I could have gone with, like, that.
But there's
it was
so much hokiness and corniness in this.
Yeah.
Let's just have
a good story.
Let's just get started. Okay, so a space station in orbit around Neptune. Cool. 38th century.
Yes.
You all know my views on Doctor Who in the future. And on space station, cool. Rasmussen is warning the viewer not to watch it, and he explains how the video assembled from various recordings. We'll put together the events leading to this point. Found footage.
Yep.
Nice attempt. And he's narrating throughout the episode, actually. Like, we're not watching what's going on. But whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. We find out that there is a absence of... The space station's communications go out, and a rescue ship is sent.
But... I'm going to say,
so far, I don't mind this episode.
But then that's where it starts to almost go wrong.
About 7 minutes in, yeah.
Because when you meet the crew, it's like Rasmussen gives you a little, like, background for each crew member.
Mm-hmm.
And that is all you ever learn about them. I was like, I don't care if these people live or die.
Yeah, they didn't make you care about any of them.
He says the guy, I still remember his name, Deep Endo. He's like, oh, he's the joker of the bunch. And then, like, the whole time you see him, he, like, never tells a joke.
I mean, you had Nagata, Chopra, Deep Ando, you said.
But they, like...
But then then there's, like, the engineered, like, soldier.
The grunt,
who's just named, like, 474.
Yep.
Even in Star Wars, the clones had names.
Well, it just, to me, it bothered me that they, like, told you about them. And then that was, like, supposed to be their, like, personality. It's like, oh, we don't need to show you any of this, because we told you this is what they're like. And I'm like, I know Rasmussen says, like, don't get too attached. And I'm like, well, they've made it clear. These are, like, disposable people.
Did they ever say why the doctor and Clara went there?
No. Well, they don't seem to know where they are. Because that's when... That was one of the few parts I liked where Clara was talking about, like, did you take me to a space restaurant? Is this, like, a Chinese restaurant? And the doctor has that argument. You don't put space in front of stuff. And she's like, space suit.
Space station.
And then Nagata was like... She talks about, well, we came to check because we didn't know if there were space pirates. And Clara's like, see? Space. Like, that, I...
That reminded me kind of the banter between Billy Piper and David Tennant in the werewolf one. Tooth and Claw. Yeah. It was kind of like that.
Yeah, it was... But that, I was like, oh, this could be... Like, then I was still, like, hopeful that we would learn more about this crew that landed there. And there's some funny banter.
It goes awry quick. It's not a two-parter, so, I mean, things have to happen faster in this one. And so, they use the psychic paper again, which I'm glad to see the psychic paper back. And they've used it a couple times, not too often.
Although, they were, like, for someone who says she is the world's best liar, Clara was pretty bad at lying about being part of the, was it structural... I forget what the...
Integrity engineering
team are. And they were like, we're checking the structure. And I was like, really? The two of you can't fake that better? Like, for someone who's an expert liar, she suddenly can't lie there.
Well, they... Shortly after that, they start getting chased by... well, Clara calls them sandmen, but basically that's what you're looking at them going, they're sandmen. Or, if anything else, they're the... clay people I thought that's what they were going to be, a form of, like, what was it from the where they were cloning people, the Flesh.
Oh yeah,
I kind of, when I saw it, like, ooh, maybe this is a new Flesh episode, that'd be kind of cool. No, because that would have been kind of cool, so no, of course not.
Well, they,
why would you
also, what is weird in this one is that the doctor, like, they just mentions, like, oh, this is a grunt, they're genetically engineered. They're not too bright, but they're strong in this. And I'm like, and you have no problem with this? Like, it seemed like the kind of thing the doctor might have a little bit more, a few words at least for, going like, this is wrong. But he just seems fine with it. Like, okay.
Did it even need to be talked about by the doctor? Like, it's funny how he picks and chooses when he explains what something is. I don't know where we're at. I'm assuming it's a space station. Oh, this is a grunt. See what they do? You can't figure out where the hell you are.
Well, he does his little licking his finger and reading the time and the day.
Yeah. So they start getting chased by the Sandmen, and apparently no weapons harm them.
Oh, we also in the beginning.
Which is, of course, why would they? I guess it would maybe hose them down.
In the beginning, we didn't mention Spider-Man 3. They set up the conflict between the users of the Morpheus machine and the Rip Van Winkles who still sleep.
Right, because, yeah, not everyone... Because the Morpheus machine, what it does is it... correct me if I'm wrong. And this was, again, something I thought was kind of neat. Mm-hmm. And this episode just... it, like, imploded. So the idea is that somehow this machine condenses your sleep into...
Like a 5 minute
you're burst. Like a month worth of sleep in a 5 minute burst into your brain somehow. So, but I don't know how that physically, whatever. They didn't work out the science behind it, but still.
But see, I could have accepted that. I'm fine with, again, I don't need the 38th
century space station. I'm fine with it. Mm-hmm. Doctor Who doing science fiction again. I like it.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay.
I didn't need the mechanics of it explained. But I almost would have preferred an episode that went into more, like, the conflict between the Rip Van Winkles and the users, and, like, it could have been more of, like, a dystopian...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but don't you find it funny how they start running and immediately one person gets separated from the group, like, right off the bat?
Deep Ando.
I feel like...
There's, like, four people. How do you not keep track?
Who I still think should have been, like, cracking jokes or something by himself.
Well, he was the funny man of the group, wasn't
he? Yeah. So, why tell us that? And then...
And the comic relief guy never dies right away in movies. That's why they're there.
Well, he didn't provide any comic relief, so he could die right away.
No, he was cannon fodder.
But it just...
for lack of a better term.
It was totally clear, I thought, from the start of this episode. Like, I mean, I know he says, don't get attached to these people. And then I'm like, and they gave you no reason to get attached to these people.
Joanna, what were you going to say?
I feel like we've been through this episode multiple times before.
It honestly kind of feels like numerous episodes. It feels like the Flesh episode a little bit. It feels like the Doctor's daughter a little bit even. Like, for some odd reason, just like a little hint of it. I don't know why.
With the Heavenly Host.
Yeah, and then it feels like any other numerous space station episode where they're running. Mm-hmm. Only those were all good. Because, let's see, Deep Endo gets separated. Clara gets dragged into a pod. The doctor frees her eventually.
Yeah,
but
they all go into the lab. Right, where the doctor's trying to figure out what it is.
Instead of just asking.
Well, he's trying to figure out what the Sandmen are made of.
And that's where he's
like investigating, like, well, it's dead skin. And I was like, but see,
and right there is where it starts falling apart.
Well, that what got
sentient dead skin cells, but not like an evil creature trying to creep in from that. Not an alien. Oh, it's your dead skin cells. Really? That's the best you could do?
Well, I also
the
had
sand
trouble
from your eyes, basically. Yeah,
I'm gonna say though the
but
other
now,
problem
it seem like a weeping angel kind of thing. Right, wasn't the sand in Amy's eyes, and she was turning, right? So I'm like, even at that point, I'm like, ooh, maybe it's a wee... No.
But part of my problem, also, with this whole found footage thing, was that I was sometimes so confused. Because I know you're seeing it from, like, different people's points of views, but they didn't make it clear enough where everybody was.
Like, or what their point of view was.
So you didn't know whose point of view you had, and sometimes you're trying to figure out, wait, who is talking? Because they like, panned to the person after they spoke, and you're like... I was like, to me, it needed to be clearer. Because there were times when I was even like, oh, what just happened? Like, I missed an event because it was all kind of...
You weren't the only one, sweetheart.
But I mean, like, it wasn't even that I was confused. It was that sometimes I had to go back because I was like, wait... Did something happen there that I... Because it was so dark and the perspectives were sometimes kind of jarring to me that I went...
Keep in mind, we're through a third of the episode already.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of running from sand creatures
men.
And
people getting lopped off.
Yeah. Well, you never actually see anyone die.
No, but they disappear
always
and
cut
never
away.
Come back. Yeah.
They always cut away tactfully right before
anyone's... That's Doctor Who, though. I mean, they don't show it. Well, no, they do sometimes.
They didn't get turned into
so they're made
steel
from
wool.
They're made from the dead skin and dust that collects in your eye,
which
and then they consume the host and they consume the crew at a station apparently, and I guess that's who they are is
well,
the
what,
remnants of the crew.
What I wanted to know,
like there was no distress call like throughout this happening, like it just all happened instantly and no one was like, hey, up.
What got me about it, also. And I know I'm, but I don't feel like talking in order makes any difference with this episode.
Oh, you know what got me about it? The 38th century is using the song, Mr. Sandman. That song's not even on the radio now, and it's only 50 years ago.
It's the eccentricity of Rasmussen.
Is it considered classical music?
Well,
In the end of the world, Britney Spears is classical music.
So,
but that was done as a joke. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was obviously blatantly done as
yes. But no, what got me in this was then,
and then there's hologram singers.
Yes, on the outside. But what got me was when they said it was like the sleep dust in your eye, and then I was like trying to. I'm like, so is it just?
Oh, this is the episode. Sleep dust? This is the episode I was thinking of Sonic sunglasses in too. Not the other two. This is the one he used them in. He didn't use them in the other one.
He did to get Osgood free of her.
Oh yeah. Okay, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. My bad.
But what got me was then it's like once they start that I was like, so is it it's just sleep dust? Like,
I know.
Not regular dust, the specific type of dust only. Because then I'm not sure why there's shots from, like, above.
Do you wake up a lot at night with a lot of dust in your eyes? How dirty were these people? Is this, like, all... Were they all pig pen?
I...
There is so... Joanna, what do you think? Do you find as many flaws with this first third of the episode as we did?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's rare that we're all on the same page. Especially when it comes to not liking something.
Okay, my thought is, like, sometimes I get a little grit in my eyes, but...
It's not sentient?
No. Thank God. Nope.
No, so. I mean,
there's organisms that live on your eyelid, on your, like, eyelashes, and little microbes and stuff that eat the dead skin. I can't remember what they're called, but I remember reading about that. They could have said that those things have been morphing into... At least it's somewhat of a creature. Dead skin is dead.
But I said there was, like... If you looked at the angles... Sometimes the angle was, like, from above when it was supposed to be, like, a base camera. I'm like, so sleep dust from someone's eye is, like, up on the ceiling? Or is this just... And then there was that whole weird thing that... Well... But I said, I don't care. It doesn't matter if it's told exactly in order. When the doctor discovers that the Sandmen can't see. Because their eyesight is being hijacked by something else. I'm like, so only some dust can record?
My question is...
Like, only some of them have that capability and others don't? Like,
I want to hear her question, because I bet it's as good as what you were talking about now. Go ahead.
My question is... It wasn't scary enough, because every time...
That's true.
It moved or did something, it would fall apart.
Well, it would just, like, go to dust. I get that weapons couldn't kill them, but they should, like, break them apart long enough to get away.
Well, it's...
You know what I mean? Like, if it's just dust and, like you just said, they fall apart, then throw a chair at the goddamn thing and run for it.
It's also not terribly scary because they don't really care about anyone.
Did they really explain how they kill people? They just take people over, right? Kind of. They eat them or something.
It's all vague.
Yeah,
they don't go into that.
Which, I mean, Mark Gatiss usually writes pretty decent stuff. I like a lot of his episodes. This one, Mark, what?
What the?
I mean, this is like, you know what the best part of this episode was? Murray Gold's music.
basically non-existent music.
Yeah. The incidental music.
Because maybe she's got sleep dust in her eye.
I think I do.
Oh my God. So.
No, to me, that was one of my things when I was like, there was so much stuff that was like, really? Like, dust is recording, but yet. These creatures can't see, so are there special dust?
Maybe. Ocular dust? I don't know. But another part that gets me... Okay, so... I can't say it's a scientific fact, because we've never really done it, but in theory, to create gravity on a space station, you have the space station spin. Part of it, at least. Right? 2001, Babylon 5... Any other science fiction show that at all tries to be somewhat realistic and based in whatever. Here we have gravity shields. And are they gravity shields to produce gravity? Or are they supposed to protect the station? I mean, because we find out... Okay, Deep Ando gets killed trying to escape a Sandman. We know that. The song we find out about. And they find that the gravity shields have failed. Which is threatening to drag the station into Neptune.
So are the shields supposed to, like, shield the station from Neptune's gravity?
But then are they... Why wouldn't you just have, like, some sort of replenishable rockets or jets or put it far enough out where it doesn't get sucked in? I mean, like, the ISS has been up there for quite some time now. You know, Mir was up there for a hell of a long time before it fell there. I mean, eventually... Everything would fall, but, you know, you can correct it, and then the next transport ship would bring new fuel, and it doesn't make any sense to me. They don't explain what they... But the gravity shields have failed, and then the shields are failed, which increases the gravity, causing the Sandmen to start to crumble.
Throughout this chaos,
Rasmussen gets killed.
Yes,
that was
what I missed at first when they were like, when he says something about, like, no, I'm not dead. And I didn't even think you were dead.
Don't they find him in a sleep pod originally?
Yeah.
Yes.
After Clara gets pulled in, which is never explained either, that they just kind of throw, like, oh, well, you were tired. That was what I missed. That was one of the things that I had to go back and go, what did I just see? because I didn't, he said, well, I to, like, you might notice I didn't die there. And I was like, oh, I completely missed that I was supposed to think you died.
And then it even gets more bizarre because then they go, then he fixes the gravity shield and then they go and they run and hide in a freezer.
Yeah.
Where's the TARDIS?
Somewhere else? Another part of the ship?
So they hide in a kitchen freezer, but it was 474, and was it Chopra that tried to make it back to the ship?
Yes.
And 474 sacrifices herself, and then Chopra dies anyway. Right?
Yes.
On the ship.
But he makes it back to the ship.
And he gets killed.
Yeah, the grunt dies taking him through that fire, which...
And this is when the doctor realizes they're blind, too.
Yeah, when they're in the freezer.
Yeah.
And then, and that's what I said. I was like, really? I mean, at that point, you didn't know they were being filmed by the dust.
And then, but... what they do is they basically say, well, you know what? It's because the Morpheus chambers do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the cop-out. That's like, it's a side effect of the Morpheus chamber. So the Morpheus chamber turns your dust sentient and into cameras.
But only some of it.
No one's figured this out yet. So, the doctor says that, what was it? They find out that, is it Clara and who's the one left with them? And Dr. Nagata?
Yeah.
That they're infected or whatever you want to call it.
Well, the doctor, that's when the doctor goes and he is like, he somehow accesses all the footage and he's like going through it.
Well, he's in sunglasses. Not sunglasses, the Sonic.
But he somehow...
Yeah, I
don't know where he gets the feed from the dust, but somehow
it's, well, he says it's being broadcast wherever. I mean...
Yeah, there's
it's probably like a radio signal or something,
so
I'm guessing.
So he gets that up, and then...
Or YouTube.
Goes through it, and that's when he realizes that the... Well, he that's when he says, like, oh, they're hacking into your helmet cams, and that's when Nagata's like, we don't have helmet cams.
Because why would you have helmet cams in the 38th century? That's so 21st century.
And then he, like, continues on, and then he goes back to, like, wait, what did you say? And then he realizes that the footage is from, like, everyone's perspective except his, basically, and the guy who doesn't do the, like,
has not been in a Morpheus chamber.
Yes. And then it's even Clara's now that she's been pulled in. So that's when he realizes, like, oh, the dust... his recording. And I was like, so they can't see, but they can record? Or because you're not getting the point of view of the Sandman either, I don't think. It's just the random... Like, I'm not sure if it was saying that it's recording from their eyes then, exactly. Or if it's supposed to be a bit of dust near their eye that's recording. But then what are the ones that are getting the point of view from above or from the side?
Dust that's just kind of floating around.
But is that eye dust? Or is, like, any dust can be recruited into this?
I don't know, because it gets even more ridiculous. Because then the doctor says he could reverse the process. They just have to get to the TARDIS. Which you'd think they would have tried doing in the first freaking place. So they return to the rescue ship. And Rasmussen's there.
Who well, first,
was supposed to be dead numerous times over.
Well, the first we get, what's his name? The guy that doesn't use the Morpheus machine.
Nagata. Wasn't it Nagata?
No.
No, it was...
That's the woman that's, like, the leader.
Chopra.
Yes. He made it back to the ship.
Right, but he
and that's
gets
where
killed.
He gets killed by Rasmussen.
We mentioned that.
Right, and then... But Rasmussen has brought aboard...
The
mysterious thing that you see traveling that says, like, hazardous material, keep out of the way, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's on there, and that's what kills him. We just don't see what's in it yet.
Well, I think we can all guess.
But then it's not, because that didn't make a lot of sense to me either, later. But then, when they get there, he's already been killed.
Right, and they find Rasmussen, and, he has the pod there, and he says it's got the first patient of the Morpheus
and
chamber
he says
in it.
He's working with the Sandman, like he's helping.
He's trying
them.
To get them to escape and leave the station to get to the Triton, which then they can infect the rest of the solar system. Da 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 da. This gravity shield failure was planned to allow them to send the pod to the rescue ship. Da da da. Without attracting attention.
But then...
Of course he tries to lock them up, which fails.
With
patient zero.
Yeah, but... That I was like, okay, so what is Patient Zero?
Well, a Sandman at this point, because he's been in the Morpheus chamber forever. He's the original Sandman.
But then it's like, is he the... Because then you learn right after that... Well,
no, you don't... Not right after that. So, yeah. Before Rasmussen can launch the ship, Nagato shoots him.
Yes.
The smartest guy in the whole episode. Well, they escape and he shoots him. She shoots him.
Switching her again with...
Yeah, I did. So,
yeah, so...
Somehow the doctor gets back to the TARDIS and then he goes, you know... And I'm paraphrasing. You know, I don't think this was real. This is all set up.
Like something doesn't feel right.
Something doesn't feel right. There's not...
Which he said before.
There's no real danger. Wait a minute. The majority of the people in the episode are dead.
Well, I think he just...
I'm pretty sure there was real danger, Doc.
Well, I don't think he says there's no danger. He just goes, there's something wasn't right. Like, there's something off about this whole thing. I thought.
I don't know if he said it, but I mean, he was implying it was choreographed. And then we find out that... So, they become surrounded by Sandmen on their way to the TARDIS. And the doctor decides, I'm going to deactivate the gravity shields. They'll disintegrate, and the station will plummet to Neptune. The end. Then is when, after they get in the TARDIS, and that happens, is when we find out Rasmussen was a Sandman. I don't understand that, because he looked like a person.
Yeah.
Was he a special version?
Well,
was he Sandman 2.0?
Well, that...
Was he upgraded?
That's where I feel like you were supposed to at the end.
Were his clothes Sandman?
But like,
this goes back to the Zygon thing.
Yes.
Was he a hybrid? It's never mentioned.
Well, with... this was my issue with, like, that twist at the end. Like, oh, he's a Sandman. But then he also says, like, that the video has the signal in it that will get embedded in your eyes when you watch it, and it'll, like, spread.
No, you have to be in the Morpheus chamber for that to happen.
No. No, because then he says the important thing is the signal in the video, not that Patient Zero was, like, a decoy, had nothing to do with it. Like,
he's
going to get the signal out there, which was, like, I felt like if it's a good twist, then it, like, makes you look at the episode differently, and you'd go, like, oh, yeah,
He's shot and killed, right? We see him get shot and killed.
Well, he's just pretending, I guess.
I guess, because then he disintegrates into sand because obviously he must not be dead. He must get up and disintegrate
as
the station plummets.
He just pretends to be dead so that they think they've defeated him. And he's still in the other ship, the, like, escape ship. The rescue ship, I think, was it?
Well, yeah, but it's still docked to the space station that's plummeting. Because he disintegrates, so he's got to be losing gravity. He's got to be going towards Neptune.
Technically, you don't know what's going... Yeah, but he...
But watched that signal is supposedly can turn into a Sandman. Sand people? Sand people was from Star Wars. I can't use that one. That's why it's Sandman.
I just thought, like, the twist should make you, like, think differently about what came before and be like, oh, yeah, this, like, came out of nowhere. So then it's like, well, then what was real? Because then he's like, well, I wanted it to be... So is that why it makes no... Like, is it really sentient sleep dust? Or did he make that part up, too? Does the Morpheus chamber really have anything to do with it? Or not? Like, it just made, like, more questions.
Why are they called Rips? I mean, I get that it's Rip Van Winkle, but... Rip Van Winkle slept for, what, was like, 100 years or something? So they sleep for, like, 8 hours.
Well, compared to the people using the Morpheus machine, they're Rip Van Winkles. Because they're still spending a third of their life asleep.
Yeah, but that third of your life asleep, you're not watching shitty episodes like this. Mark Gatiss has written some of the best Doctor Who episodes and some of the worst. Let's run down the list here, because I'm not even going to ask what everyone thought. Because
Unquiet Dead.
I'm not even going to ask what everyone thought, because I think it's quite obvious.
He wrote Idiot's Lantern. That one was kind of...
That one was garbage.
Victory of the Daleks.
Hang on. I'm looking for his filmography here, his writer. Let's see.
Night Terrors. Robot of
Wasn't
Sherwood.
Probe a spinoff of Doctor Who? And it never got put out? Back in the 90s? Yes, it was. I'm almost positive. Because he wrote that, and it never went anywhere. Series of videos mostly written by Mark Gatiss and produced by BBV Productions. It predates Torchwood as the first ongoing spinoff of the Doctor Who universe. Caroline John was in it as Liz Shaw. It was a preternatural research bureau. Many former Doctor Who actors, including Doctors John Pertwee, Peter Davison, Colin Baker, and McCoy, appear in the series playing different roles. Due to licensing restrictions, they never could reference them as the Doctor. Louise Jameson was even in all four films. I may have downloaded these. So he wrote that ill-fated series. He wrote The Unquiet Dead, which wasn't bad. Idiot's Lantern, horseshit. Wait, Idiot's Lantern, that's The Wire, right?
The Wire, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fucking stupid as... Victory of the Daleks, bad. Right? That's the World War II planes flying through space. Yeah, bad. Because no one ever explained how internal combustion engines were able to fly in space. Night Terrors. Which one's that?
The little boy.
Little boy.
That's an alien, really, that has nightmares.
I don't remember that one. Cold War. That was a good one. Crimson Horror, I liked. Robot of Sherwood. I didn't like that. You guys did. If I'm correct, if I remember right.
I liked it.
But
I mean, that the plot is stupid in that one.
But then he's written for Agatha Christie's Poirot. He's written for Sherlock. I mean, it's like so hit or miss. It's like they're either good or they're like hideous. He's written a ton of Doctor Who novels even. I read Nightshade. It was good. I think he wrote the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen books too. Or the newer ones. Or something to do with them. But I'm just like... I don't know what went wrong with this episode. Well, I mean, it just failed across the board. The writing, the direction, it just... all of it.
It's like, to me, it's like all the effort went into, like, the premise. This one...
What was the point? Were they trying to take over the solar system? The universe? What about with alien species? Would, like, the Daleks watch this and turn into Sand Daleks? The Cybermen? I mean...
Well, does it have to be a species who...
Well, the Daleks are them? The Daleks are organic, and we've seen them sleep. And they can see. You know what I mean? It's so...
Wait, so it's like all the effort went into, like, the premise.
Name any episode you think is bad, and I'll tell you if this is better or worse. Go ahead. Go ahead. We got some time left. We're only at 39 minutes. Yeah, seriously. Name
Love
one of the worst
monsters.
Episodes. This is worse.
Oh, I would disagree.
Well, the general public doesn't seem to. Well, no, it is rated. Okay, you know what?
Any episode
you know what?
That
that's
ends
a, that's
with,
a tie.
With someone trapped in a paving stone.
That's a tie. So this is tied with Love and Monsters. But there have been worse episodes than Love and Monsters.
Yes.
Fear Her?
This is worse. Fear Her had a premise that was kind of neat. Like, her drawings came to life. The special effects were good. I mean, there were parts of it that were good. Idiot's Lantern might be worse than this still.
Yeah.
Kill the Moon?
This is... Oh, that's a tough one. I don't know. Kill the Moon wasn't bad until I found out it was a space dragon. You know what I mean? Like, up until that point, it was okay. It was, you know, there were those spider creatures, and it was alright. I'd say this is worse than that still.
Caretaker?
I forget how bad some of the Capaldi episodes were because I like him so much.
Uh-huh.
Caretaker had Danny Pink in it. So, yeah, that's pretty bad.
This one, for me, I didn't particularly like it. But it I don't know, there's some episodes that...
It's in the top five worst episodes of the last 5 years, at least.
See, I don't know. This one doesn't really provoke strong emotions for me. It's like the one that I would completely forget exists.
I guess there's ones I forgot existed that are good. Like the one where David Tennant's on that little that space thing going across the planet and it stops and they're wondering who the bad guy
Midnight.
Is. Yeah, that was episode 54. Thanks for joining us, and we will talk to you later.